Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and we begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 today. So this is our first message in this trip through the Bible. And it doesn't take me long to get to my favorite chapter in Scripture, because this is it, Genesis chapter 1, the beginning. And if you've been with me for any length of time, you know that I don't spend a whole lot of time, if any, on introductions. To be frank with you, I get bored when I listen to other people introduce their books. Just give me the Word of God. I don't need to know what you think of it and your outline of it. I really don't. These things are man-made. I want to get right into the text itself and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. That's the way I've always done it. That's the way I always will do it. I'm here to communicate the Word of God, not bore you with 3 or 4 weeks' worth of my introduction. I'm not knocking people who do it. I'm just saying, personally, I get bored. And so, whatever. Let's get into the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify your Word and sanctify this entire study through the Bible, beginning today in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the beginning here refers to the beginning of time. It refers to the beginning of the created universe. Eternity had gone on forever in the past. There never was a time when God was not. But then at this point, God stepped in and he did something completely different. Verse 1 is talking about the first break in eternity past. This is the beginning of the material universe. This is the beginning of time and space. And let's see in verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If you want to do a study on the gap theory, you might want to do that if you're interested. There are some who put an uncertain amount of time, but a vast amount of time between verses 1 and 2. And I think this thing came about the same time the theory of evolution did, back in the late 1800s. It's the first time anybody ever talked about it. And I think it was an attempt by Christians to reconcile the Bible to evolution. And I certainly don't intend to do that. I don't see. And I studied the gap theory. I studied both ends of it. And I came to the conclusion that I'll take the historical interpretation that there was really no passage of time between verses 1 and 2. This is creation week. And it says in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void. The earth wasn't made to be empty. It wasn't made to be dark or shapeless. That was its initial state. But it's not going to remain that way very long. As you can see, the Holy Spirit is moving over the earth, ready to finish the work of creation. Actually, God created all the elements here, and now he just has to put it together, which is what he will do. Verse 3. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. First thing God creates is light. And no one knows for sure what this initial light was. Now, we do know that it wasn't the sun, because that wasn't created until day 4. Evidently, this light was a light source outside the earth, though. That seems to be clear. And I say that because as the earth rotated, there was evening and there was morning the first day. And so it says in verse 4, and God saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. The light was good. In other words, it served its purpose. whatever this light was, it served its purpose. It lit the earth for 3 days until God created the sun. And then this light was removed. And of course, 3 days isn't very long compared to the thousands of years that the sun has been shining, giving off light. But God doesn't compare one thing to another or one person to another to determine if that thing or person has done a good job. If you do what God wants you to do for as long as He wants you to do it, that's good in the mind of God. It may not be as long as what somebody else does something, but that doesn't matter. Again, God doesn't compare what you do with somebody else. He compares what you do with what He wants you to do. And this light did its job. It was good. Look at verse 4 and 5. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, some people will say, well, you know, I believe the word day here refers to a geological age. Again, an attempt to reconcile the Word of God with the theory of evolution. They say each day refers to millions of years, maybe 10 million years per day. But then, you know, you also have to believe that for the first 5 million years, it was dark. Because there was the evening and the morning the first day. If you're gonna make each day to be 10 million years, then 5 million years was dark, 5 million years was light, 5 million years was dark, and 5 million years was light again for this first 6 days of creation, if that's what you're going to do. And that's because God splits the days in half between evening and morning. The fact is, the word day always, always, always means a literal 24-hour day when it is used with a number like it is here, the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The firmament is an open expanse in the sky. It is the spatial thing that causes the sky to look like a big tent over the earth. Verse 6 through 8. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So God suspended a large body of water over the earth in the form of water vapor. This has been called the water vapor canopy. So get the picture. At this point, you have the earth, which is one big mass of water. No dry land as of yet. And then you have an open expanse of air. And then on top of that, you have a water canopy that surrounds the earth. So that's the initial state of creation here. And it's all lit up. If you were there, you could see it. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. So God speaks, and some parts of the earth's crust rise up, and some parts sink. And when that happened, the waters that covered the entire earth rushed to fill the low places, which left the higher elevations dry. So now you've got oceans, rivers, lakes, streams, and you've got dry land. God is setting the stage for mankind. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. I've always liked the first chapter of Genesis, I think, because it showcases so much about God's character. You can tell a lot about a person by their hobbies, what they like to do, what they like to make, maybe what they like to paint or draw or whatever. And it's that way with God also. You can tell, for example, that God really likes color and variety simply by looking at all the different kinds of flowers and plants and fruits and vegetables he has made right here on day 3, 12 and 13. And the earth brought forth vegetation, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. By the way, when God says evening and morning, it means the earth started to rotate. And this outside light shined on the earth. And as the earth spun, it was evening, and then it became morning. God also did something else here in verses 12 and 13. It says, the earth brought forth vegetation and herb-yielding seed after its kind. God established the law of biogenesis right here. He set in motion the law that everything must create after its own kind, which is why orange trees never produce tomatoes. It's also why an expecting woman never has to worry about giving birth to puppies. We only create after our own kind. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. God designed the night sky to be a calendar. You know, if you become familiar with the constellations, you can tell what season of the year it is just by looking at the night sky. And of course, you know what direction. If you know where the North Star goes or is, then you know where north is, and you can figure out south, east, and west too. That's why God created the night sky. And another reason, verse 15, look at it. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God designed the night sky to be a calendar. God designed the night sky to be a map, so to speak, a compass for us. And did you know that up until this point, the earth was floating around all by itself in the vastness of outer space? Just think of that. God created planet Earth, this little blue ball, and it was all alone in the entire universe. Nothing else. Everything else was just space. But then all of a sudden, on day 4, bang, like turning on the Christmas tree lights, the sky is filled with stars and the moon appears. And in the morning, the sun comes up for the very first time. And, you know, sometimes people ask me if there is life on other planets. And I don't know. Never been there. God could have created life of some sort on the other planets. But when you're talking about alien beings that are more advanced than us or something like that, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all, because the earth is the centerpiece of God's creation. It is the focus of his creation, and so is man. And all these other stars and the planets that would be going around the stars have been made for Earth, for us. So for that reason, I have my doubts. And I know people see things, and I've seen a UFO. I mean, I've seen it years ago, 40 years ago. And I'm not talking about a light. I'm talking about an actual ship. And if you think I'm crazy, you're probably going to turn off the radio. But it's true, and I don't lie. Don't know what it was. All I know is what I saw, and I wasn't alone. So, I don't know. I know there are people who see things, and there are people who claim to see aliens, too. And all I'm saying is I don't believe they're creatures from outer space. If anything, they are demons, because if you listen to the so-called messages of these demons, they always put down Jesus Christ. They say that that's past. It's time for a new religion, not Christianity anymore. And you know what the source of that is, Satan himself. So I could talk a long time about this, believe me, but I'm not going to. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And I don't know what amazes me more, to be honest with you. The actual creation of all the fish and the underwater creatures and all the birds, I don't know what amazes me more. The fact that they were all created in an instant, or the fact that God designed them in his mind before he spoke them into existence. That is an amazing thing to do. God had a unique design for each and every one of those creatures. Whether they were birds or water creatures, each one of them gathers food and defends itself in its own unique way. You know, when you look at all the fish, everything from the minnow to the whale, and when you look at all the birds, you see more evidence that there's an amazingly intelligent God who has designed and made them all, by the way, with his spoken word, all in an instant, all at the same time. 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. Verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creeps upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. So here we are on day 6. And on the first part of day 6, God created all the animals and the reptiles. And once again, he commands them to reproduce after their own kind. Like the plants, the animals, the reptiles produce after their own kind. Now, that leaves room for variation within the species. Not all dogs are Labradors. They can develop over the years, but they're still a dog. There's no passing from one species to another. In other words, you cannot mate a deer and a cow and produce an animal that runs fast but says moo and gives milk. At least you can't produce one that can reproduce itself. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We don't look like God physically, because God is a spirit. The Bible says being made in the image of God. That's what man was made in the image of God. And that refers to the fact that we are like God, we are His image, in that as God has intellect, so do we. As God is a moral being, unlike the other animals, so are we. We can think and we can design, just like God thought and designed the creation. We not only know that we're here, we know that we know that we're here, which isn't true of the animals. And also, unlike anything else God created, we are spirit beings. Like God, we're spirit beings, so that we can communicate with Him. Animals don't do that. They just are. They're not even aware of the fact that they are. They just are. No squirrel runs around trying to discover the meaning of his existence. He doesn't get it. He doesn't care. All he's thinking about is existing, his next acorn. He's too busy being, just being, to wonder why he's being. Verse 26 again. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Man was made in the image of God so that man could rule the earth. The plan was for man to be God's representative ruler here on earth. And the plan worked very well until man sinned. Everything fell apart after man sinned. Sin affected man's mind as well as his spirit. He lost his godly wisdom, and he lost his unbroken fellowship with God. And when those things happen, well, he lost his ability to rule the earth effectively. So let's stop right there for today, and we'll pick it up in verse 27 next time.